Thanks for joining us. Fox and his friends are not experts. Take these opinions as you will. Perhaps it is satire, perhaps not. There are two kinds of people, those who believe us, and those who continue to enjoy being lied to. But I'll tell you this. The military-industrial complex doesn't care about us. We need to stop sending our children to war, to die for bankers and corporations. The medical-industrial complex want to keep us sick and weak. Stop taking their poison. The education system is merely an indoctrination program designed to produce obedient workers. The media is a propaganda machine pushing an agenda coordinated by a few men who own every channel and network. Enjoy the show. You are listening to The Conspiracy Soldiers.
All right, what's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show.
Recording in progress.
December 8th, Sunday morning, 7 a.m. I'm here with a returning guest, Brian Brumsfeld. He was like the third or maybe the fourth or the fifth episode. For the longtime listeners, you guys will remember him. What's up, Brian?
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So, you got some new stuff happening. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So, you know, just to recap for anybody that hadn't heard the other episode is, you know, my son was a Army vet, discharged honorably in January of 2023, and visited the VA for his appointment notes say he wanted an eye exam and he wanted a tune-up on his CPAP machine. And they ended up, they do what they do. They put you through a screening. He scored a 17 on the PHQ-9 test. And this nurse practitioner put him on bupropion, which is Wellbutrin. And I didn't know some of these things in the last episode. So I'll kind of be shedding some of my new intelligence on this stuff. But she prescribed that to him. He got the prescription in the mail April 5th. He took 9 pills, 9 days, and killed himself on April 13th, 2023, out of the blue.
Wow.
So, you know, he had no history of any kind of suicidal ideation, suicidal talk, suicidal thoughts, as far as we know.
All right, so he went in for an eye exam, and then the CPAP, is that like for breathing at night, right?
Correct, sleep apnea. Yeah, and that was a side effect.
And so they gave him an evaluation automatically, right? Because he's a vet.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, they refer to it as a screening. So they gave him a screening. He scored above zero, right? And I don't know what their threshold is. That's part of the process I want to go through with all of this discovery and with any kind of lawsuits or I found a new avenue of attack, which is the Inspector General's office. And so I've unleashed that on both the Army and the VA. And we hope to hear something about it. And, oh, shit, what was I talking about? Sorry, man.
No, it's all good. Hey, I got one of those screenings coming up next month.
Yeah.
They're not giving me no pills. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, and that is the outcome. That is the entire outcome. And so this is part of what I've uncovered. And let me kind of step back a little bit. So last time we talked, we did not have, I don't believe we did had not yet received all of his Army medical records, VA medical records. And since that time, and they were stonewalling us, and I don't know why, but it was just taking weeks and weeks and weeks to try to get that information from them. And I ended up contacting Congressman Zinke's office in Montana, and they were a freaking sledgehammer, dude. They came down on the VA. I don't know how they do it. It might have been nice. It might have been mean. But I had a CD in 2 days. It was that fast. So, and then we got another packet in the mail. And they were different, which is really very curious in my opinion. You know, why can't I get the same records dump out of two requests? To me, that has a red flag associated with it, right? But there was information in there that we still don't have, and that we've ended up having to make direct requests to a counselor's office in Oklahoma and as well as digging into Butte, Montana's bureaucracy to try to get the police report, to try to get the coroner's report, the blood toxicology report, all that stuff. We've had to, had to pay $120. Hmm. Montana's kind of a pain in the ass to deal with, which is shocking.
It makes me wonder, so the Biden's VA secretary is Dennis McDonough.
Mm-hmm.
And the new cabinet is bringing in Doug Collins from Georgia. Trump is. It makes me wonder if that's going to be any different. You would think, but who knows?
I would think there'd be a lot less sex orgies in Tennessee.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right? If anybody hadn't heard about that, this story broke yesterday. You know, the VA in Tennessee, employees got caught having a 12-person orgy on the clock.
Yeah.
And this is not a one-time occurrence. So,
of course. Yeah,
there's just monkey shit going on. You know,
they probably suffering. They probably classified it as a meeting. Probably right. had food brought in, all that shit.
Coffee break. You want some cream in that? Anyway.
Did you hear about the other guy that slept with 32 different women at that VA?
Was part of the same group.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that is...
your tax dollars.
Right.
See, that's the shit I believe, and this may be misguided, but I believe between Trump, RFK Jr., Elon, and Vivek, that shit is going to stop. I really do think so. I think, because you look at the Democrats right now, all the lefties are shitting their pants. Yeah. All their great, bureaucracy, because that's where their power is, man. And every time they say, this was Andrew Breitbart. Andrew Breitbart said this. Whenever they say democracy, they mean their power. Yep. So when they say democracy's at risk or Trump is going to take away our democracy, they mean our power. And if you just make that switch in your brain, everything they say makes sense because that's all they want. So yeah, they're shitting their pants about their bureaucracy and they can suck it.
I'm so glad Trump got in, man, because and I'm not saying he's the savior or anything, but these intelligence groups, I feel like they put the institution over the Constitution, and they're worried right now because the way he talks, he's gonna clean all that shit up, but we'll see.
We'll see how far he can get before, something bad happens. But I just learned that Eisenhower in 1961, in his exiting address to the American people, warned about basically pharma and the military industrial complex.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Running the country. And that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah. It's a corporatocracy, man. Everything's about money and power.
And so I have heard the term military industrial complex basically all my adult life. It's just been, and at a point it just doesn't have a meaning, right? If you don't understand what it is, if you don't understand the implications of it and the roots of it, then it's just a meaningless term, and you hear it and you just go, yeah. It's like when Ross Perot was, and I'm aging myself, right? I actually voted for Ross Perot because I was sick of the bullshit. Yeah. I was sick of what I saw in 1992 or whenever that was. And I was like, this dude, he's kind of crazy, but that's what we need is a little bit of crazy. But the other thing is, and I'll talk about this a little bit, that narrative, like RFK Jr., they want you to think he's mentally insane, literally mentally insane. That's their goal. Everything they say about him, everything they portray him, he may be the sanest motherfucker in Washington, D.C. I've done my own research, and that dude, I got a deep, deep respect for him. And as a fighter for the people, and he might be a little granola, he might be a little, kind of over the top and so, some of that stuff, but I think he's right on the money. And I think because as the louder the left screams, we're over the target, right? That kind of meme or that philosophy that when they start really getting agitated, something right is happening. you know, yeah. And that was true about Trump. Look at when all the shit started for Trump, 2015, you know, Russia collusion, Hillary already kicked that whole thing off. And so there's a path I've been on in the past just couple of months, because we were getting to the point where it felt like there was going to be no remedy for us, for our son, for Connor. And it was feeling really hopeless. We felt alone. We felt like this fight was not being fought. We felt like, you know, I talked to 24 attorneys, Fox, and every single one of them bowed out. And we heard excuses. You know, every doctor prescribes Wellbutrin, bupropion. It's the most widely, you know, prescribed drug in America. Every doctor does it. You can't prove the cause of a suicide. This case is too complex. It's like, well, what the hell is your job, you attorneys? You know, and so we're just getting, we're just hitting brick wall after brick wall after brick wall. And a friend of my wife's gave her a code to stream a movie called First Do No Farm, PHARM. Everybody listening to this should watch that documentary. It's like $5 or $6. It's worth it. That movie. There's another movie, it's free on YouTube, called Medicating Normal. And then two books, Cheryl Atkinson's Follow the Science, and the S in science is a dollar sign, so you can tell what that's about. And then a guy named Robert Whitaker, who, like Cheryl Atkinson, is a investigative reporter, and he wrote a book called Anatomy of an Epidemic. And if you read those two books and watch those two movies, all this stuff is going to go click, and you're going to understand. And this sounds so crazy, right? Conspiratorial, until you see the big picture and it makes sense to you. And they point out in Do No Farm, this is nuts to me. The major pharmaceutical companies that made it through the 40s into the 50s and 60s and basically crafted our agriculture industry, crafted our food industry, were the same motherfuckers that were creating phosgene gas for the Nazis.
Yep.
They're the same companies. Bayer, blah, 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 right? There's like four key companies. Operation Paperclip was part of it when we harvested up all the Nazi scientists and justified, you know, using them, right, wrong, or otherwise. I'm not judging that any more than it needs to be judged. But these companies, the same, you know, and I always wondered, how come you can, you know, like the Oklahoma City bombing, he used fertilizer, right? That's the same fertilizer. It's the same nitrogen sulfate or whatever they are, you know, that they use for munitions development. Guess why? It's the same companies. So you got the same companies that are pushing agriculture, that are also pushing the war machine.
Yep.
And then they also intertwine with the medical system, with pharma, and that, you know, like all the ads on TV that we see that we hate for you know, all that shit, that's actually, I've discovered, is how they have the stranglehold on the media, because they're at the ad money. They're right. Paying billions and billions and billions of dollars. And so Cheryl Atkinson points out in her book, every time she had a story that reflected poorly on pharma, she would get shut down. Like the CEO of NBC would call her directly. What's this I hear about the story you're going to run? Yeah. No, you're not going to run it. You can't say that. You can't say that there's evidence of suicides.
And when you talk about the medical industrial complex, that ties into the insurance companies.
Exactly.
And this guy that got shot the other day in New York City, this guy that shot him, I don't know if it's true. I read this right before we got on, and I didn't really investigate it or nothing, but the guy that shot him supposedly left behind a backpack, and it was full of Monopoly money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he seems like a Timothy McVeigh type of guy. I don't know what's going on, really. I mean, yep. It'll probably unfold itself here next couple of months.
Yeah, you know, and let's like think about a plot for a movie. You know, you've got millions of veterans who've been trained, who are warriors at heart, who are killers, right? Let's just face it, right? That come home, you mistreat them, you know, you hook them for life on drugs that fuck with their brains, and then you expect something different to happen. You know, I'm not going to say this guy's a veteran. He kind of looks maybe like he's got the build of an Army Ranger or something like that, right?
He
looked pretty fit. He chose his weapons interestingly. Maybe OSS ties or something like that.
You know, I haven't even seen the video yet. You know, I just I hear about all this shit on podcasts and stuff, but
okay.
Did I hear it right? He was catching the brass as he was shooting.
Mm-mm.
No.
No. Well, there were three casings on the ground that had words written on them.
Yeah, I heard
and
that.
It was, you know, so he left a message for sure. I mean, if the murder wasn't enough, he made it pretty clear what it was about. You know, and he may have caught the brass. I don't know, but it was like I believe it was an integrally suppressed pistol. So it's got some fingerprints of like OSS or Mossad or something like that, even CIA, right?
But right. I believe it.
They're saying the guy wasn't professional. They haven't caught him, so he's no idiot, and he's probably got backing.
Right.
I don't know.
Obviously, I mean, this is one of the biggest stories in the news right now. Now, if they haven't caught him, what the fuck? I mean, he's got some kind of skills, or somebody's behind him, like you said.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, he could just hop in a car and get a ride to the border. They'd never catch him, right?
Yeah.
That's probably what happened. I would be surprised if they ever catch him.
Now, this guy, what's his name? Brian Thompson. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that he was involved in a court case? Now, you know how the internet is, man. I'm not saying this is true, but I just wanted to throw it out there. Now, he's saying this court case that he's involved in, it has ties to insider trading and possibly involved like Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't investigated none of this shit. I don't know how much you've looked into that, but that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I know there were, and it may be coincidence, right?
It may
be just some kind of synchronicity, as people like to say.
But when you said Mossad, that's what reminded me of Pelosi, the Pelosi story. So
what kind of triggered me on Mossad is one of the things everybody, again, this is a personal favor to you. If you're listening to this, watch those movies, read those books. I'm telling you, it's insane what they're getting away with. They use a staff of people that go into chat rooms, Reddit, LinkedIn, Facebook, any social media places, even, you know, Rumble, whatever. And they promote positive stories about the drugs. So like if somebody posts about, you know, my son took bupropion and killed himself 9 days later, somebody will say, oh, this drug has been great for me. And they'll start to promote it. And these people are paid actors from pharma. And Cheryl Atkinson has got proof of it in the book. So that's why, you know, we can talk about these things and they sound kind of crazy or out there or conspiratorial, but she's got evidence of it. And Robert Whitaker's book talks about COVID-19 and how that happened. And just the manipulation of the system, the control that, you know, the pharma industry has over the media, the government, the financial system, and insurance. And you put all those pieces together, and it's amazing we're alive right now, quite frankly. So I mentioned the PHQ-9 test. So this is the standard screening test that the DOD is using in active service and in the VA. It was paid for by Pfizer. It even says it on the bottom of the form, paid for by a generous grant from Pfizer. And what it is, and I've had a couple revelations, and they sound kind of goofy, but I believe it's true. Back in 1982, when they started releasing, you know, Zoloft and what was the one, the first one? It wasn't Zoloft. It was an SSRI. They needed a mechanism to create a need for these drugs. And what they came up with was this whole diagnosis of disorders and diseases. So they categorized basically everything. Remember when this happened? We're in high school and we're hearing ads for, or the news talking about, you know, obesity is a disorder or a disease. And we're like, what the fuck? It's not a disease. You know, it's a, you can control obesity. It's not a disease. But everything. So the PHQ-9 test creates a matrix of results that track to disorders, and the disorders track to drugs. It's that simple. And it also explains why in the United States it is legal for any primary care provider to prescribe psychotropic medications. They don't have to be a psychiatrist. They don't have to be a trained psychologist. They don't have to have any mental health care training at all, other than how to administer and interpret the PHQ test. And it's paint by numbers. That's all it is.
Yep.
You feel like this. Here's the disorder. Here's the drug. And people are starting to really put this together. And a group that I got connected. So I watched First Do No Farm. There's a woman in there named Kim. I'm going to butcher her last name. It's Polish. Wyczak. It's like Wyczak. Her husband was put on Zoloft and hung himself. And she fought, this is back in the 90s, she fought tooth and nail. She was an attorney. They kind of screwed with the wrong person. And she fought pharma and the industry and got the black box, the infamous black box warning put onto the medications, which, by the way, they lobbied Congress and the FDA in 2016 and got those removed for bupropion and other SSRIs, which is freaking criminal. So I reached out, I saw her name, I found her online, found an email, emailed her, said, this is the story, you know, told the story about my son. She got in touch with me and said, you need to talk to Tim Jensen at Grunt Style Foundation. And I had heard of Grunt Style. You know, everybody's seen their shirts, right? It's got the crossed muskets on one arm and the American flag on the other, and then something edgy or funny,
right?
You know, graphic tees, right?
Yeah, and everybody wears those, man. That's super popular.
Yeah. So Tim Jensen's a Marine vet. He is like the COO of Grunt Style. He is also the president of the Grunt Style Foundation. I'd never heard of the Grunt Style Foundation. And I went to their website, and it's like, who are we? Tim Jensen gave his email. I'm like, man, you're going to put your email out there. I'm going to use it. And I did the same thing. Emailed him. And I'll tell you what, the clouds parted, man. This guy, he has had friends die. He was put on, you know, these meds himself and had to fight his way off of them. And he's got a partner in the foundation of many, but this guy, Derek Blumke, Air Force vet. He was in a C-130 gunships crew. He's been through this. He founded Veteran Students for America. I can't even begin to list his credentials on what he has done as a veterans advocate. So Derek basically tells me, we are fighting this. You need to get plugged in to what we're doing so you understand, you know, the scope of what we're doing. And we want to take Connor's story, and we're going to make it, they're not going to be able to have a meeting or, you know, have a public hearing or something without hearing this story, without seeing a face that's associated with the decisions that they're making. Because what they're doing is the VA leader says shit like, well, you know, this story you're telling about your kid is anecdotal. It's just an anecdotal story. It's not statistically significant. You know, we're looking at the macro picture. We're looking at the 13,000 vets that killed themselves last month. And you know, this connection with the drug is not really relevant. It's not important. And that really pissed off Tim Jensen. And they are fighting a bare knuckle fight right now. And it is freaking glorious. They are calling them to the mat on LinkedIn, every social media platform they've got. They're doing meetings in the towns where the pharma and VA have offices, and they're inviting the lawmakers, they're inviting the CEOs, they're inviting these people to sit for 8 hours. And the way he says it, they have to sit their asses in a steel chair just like everybody else. And if they get up and leave, they're going to look like jackasses. And they're going to have to answer for why they got up and left when they're hearing stories about these suicides, and they're hearing stories about how pharma gets away with this shit. And they have no excuses now. So they've been educated. They know the truth. And what are they going to do about it? And they're just going balls to the wall. And it's glorious, man. And I'm telling you, I went from literally a month ago feeling completely alone and almost giving up on this fight, like feeling suing the government was not going to happen, you know, because no lawyer will take our case. Who's going to hear this, you know, in our vision of fighting Congress? Because what I wanted to do, quite frankly, is just have this suit, this FTCA claim, which is the Federal Tort Claims Act, FTCA, yeah. Federal Tort Claims Act, file that against the VA and the Army, because the Army really dropped the ball on my son, and the VA killed him. Win that case and bankroll, basically, so I could quit working a 9-to-5 and go fight this fight and go park my ass in D.C. or wherever the hell I need to be, at the State House in Ohio or wherever, and start kicking some ass, you know, any way I could. That was my vision, and I was feeling like that was never going to happen. And now they're telling me, we're going to have you in Washington, D.C. in January. There's going to be a congressional hearing in March. We're going to get you in front of Congress. We're going to get, you know, you're going to have this story they're crafting, Connor's story that I wrote. It's going to be a podcast. It's going to be all this stuff. They're going to get it in the TV news. And in the course of this, they sent me an inspector general's report from Tuscaloosa, Alabama in 2022. And it was a 22-year-old Army vet, went to the VA for help, got that prescribed a psychotropic drug, and took his life like 5 days later. It's almost the exact same story as my son.
Yeah, damn.
And the OIG report is scathing. It's like, you guys didn't look at his medical history. You shouldn't have prescribed the drug that you did to him. You should have, you know, he got no informed consent. He didn't understand the side effects of it. He got no follow-up. They have a mandatory 2-day follow-up. He didn't get it. My son didn't get it. So far, this all tracks with Connor, 1-to-1. And he just goes on and on and on of all the failings of the VA. And so that's like slam dunk. You know, so I filed an OIG grievance against the nurse practitioner that will spawn a report or, you know, an investigation. I filed an Army grievance. I have pushed this through Jim Jordan's office. They're helping me. So shit's happening, you know, and I'm excited. It's a shitty thing to be excited about, right? You know, but I'm now calling myself a veterans advocate because
this fight is, man,
my knuckles aren't bloody yet. But
all right. Now this Grunt Style Foundation, how are they funded? Like are the
donations,
do the t-shirts, a percentage of the t-shirts or what?
I don't think so. They do. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. They do special promotions. You can go to their website and donate. And if I am very skeptical, but I had never donated a dime to Trump. I still haven't. Because it weirds me out. I don't like these machines that just take money and you never see a result. And Grunt Style, Tim Jensen is guaranteed 100% of every dime goes to fighting this fight. And if you're ever thinking you wanted to donate to something and you're a veteran or you have, you know, you lost a brother or you lost a friend or you lost your dad or whatever to the VA, to meds, the correlation right now between the VA and veteran suicide is so tight. It's ridiculous. Derek Blumke went through the VA's own data and showed them that veterans are 32% more likely to commit suicide under VA care than if they did nothing. That is fucking sick.
Yeah.
And they just keep doing what they're doing. Screening, medication, suicide increase. What's the graph just goes up.
What's the website? Is it like...
I don't know. You just search,
yeah, search for it. Gruntstyle Foundation probably.com or something Foundation. Like that.
Yeah. These dudes are serious. And I read some threads on LinkedIn where, you know, Derek Blumke will post something. Like he did a joint paper with Robert Whitaker, the guy who wrote the book Anatomy of an Epidemic. And the title was Screenings Plus Medication Equals Increase in Veteran Suicides. So it's right in your face. And that's what they're doing now. They're like, no more pussyfooting around this. No more trying to be kind and gentle. Fuck that. You know, people are dying. My friends are dying. My brothers in arms are dying. And this is bullshit. And so they are just... All and right, that paper.
Yep. I got it. It's gruntstylefoundation.org. So... If anybody wants to go there, I'm looking at it right now.
It's worth your investment. And if you have a story, you know, if you have been harmed by the VA, if they're this is the devious and it's just evil. It's freaking evil. The people who could tell the story are dead. That's the fact, right?
Yeah.
I went to the VA. I wasn't suffering from anything but, you know, some anxiety or some depression. They put me on this drug, and for some reason, my brain told me to kill myself. They're dead. So their story can't be told other than statistics, right? But it's the guys that went to the VA, that got medicated, that were standing at the threshold, right? They had the gun to their head. They were thinking about driving their car off a cliff, whatever it was. And they stepped back. God saved them. Whatever. Yeah. Divine intervention pulled them back from the brink. Those are the guys. Those stories are going to be indisputable, right? And that's the thing, is they've been fighting with data. They've been trying to say, well, you know, the case studies and all these, you know, the stuff that the big pharma did to test this shows it's safe and, you know, we can prescribe this. And what Derek is saying is they can't deny your story. They can't deny Connor's face in their face, and they can't deny the pain and the suffering and your experience. And so that's what they're using. It's freaking brilliant. That's what they're shoving in their faces. And he's like, I couldn't read the first page of your story without crying. And that's what I want those fuckers to do. You know, I want the congressmen who read this story to be bawling their eyes off and have nightmares over this shit. God, he's pissed. I love it. They're fueled up, man. They're fueled with anger, righteous anger. And that's what it takes. That's really what it takes. And we kind of got off on a little bit of a tangent, but I don't know how they're funded. But I know he said they just have challenges. They can't do everything they want to do. Well, like, get me. There's one of these, I call it a symposium. I don't know what you call it, where they pull all those people in. The thing I was describing about the steel chairs, you know, they're doing one right now in Boston. And they couldn't afford to fly me out there for them. But I'm going in March for sure. And then he said, I'm going to have you in D.C. way before that. So
yeah, on the website, the first thing that pops up is a picture of the Grunt Style t-shirt. So I don't know if they get a piece of that or not. But then right below the picture, it just says, it's got a box you click on. It says donate. So
yeah,
definitely the donations help. I don't know about the shirts, but. Everywhere, man.
Yeah. The shirts of the recognition.
Yeah.
But you see that and you go, oh, yeah, I know. Everybody right. I know, every vet I know basically wears Grunt Style shirts because they're kick-ass shirts most of the time.
They are.
I didn't like wearing them because I kind of felt, I don't know, stolen Valerie, because it just it cries out as a military, you know, veteran. When I see them, and I didn't like portraying, you know, people thinking I was a vet, but
you got a good reason now. I mean, you're doing more than most veterans do for the cause. You know what I mean? So,
well, that's the thing, is you get kicked, you know, and you don't, they put you on these, you do the screening, you get medicated, and your brain is changed, right? And right. So how is somebody who's maybe, and this is this, I'm gonna jump stories, I'll get back to it. How are you supposed to expect to read off a list of symptoms and say things like, if you feel increased risk, you know, if you're feeling like you're thinking about suicide, call for help. How do you expect somebody whose brain is being tortured, basically tortured to death by a medication, to have the lucid comprehension of these thoughts in your head are being caused by this drug and I should call for help? You know, it's crazy. And one thing I noticed in looking at the data, and this is a third rabbit hole I'm taking myself down. I really apologize, guys. There's so much shit going on. SSRIs in the data I've looked at tend to manifest themselves in terms of homicide or suicide more as homicide. So all these mass shootings, you look at the data from 1982, it went from zero to now we're doing, you know, one a month basically on average. And it tracks with the prescription rates of antidepressants. So SSRIs, and this is, I'm not a doctor, I'm a fucking monkey that's been shaved down and I could talk. But the data I've looked at, and my career has been in data and looking for patterns and looking for, you know, root causes, is that SSRIs tend to manifest themselves in homicides and NDRIs, the neonepinephrine dopamine reuptake inhibitor, which is what bupropion, Wellbutrin is, tend to manifest itself in suicides. So it's really interesting. There's like an external reaction with SSRIs and there's an internal reaction with NDRIs. And
talking about SSRIs, I can't remember. It was one of the first, the ones that everybody used to be on back in the day. I just can't think of the name of it.
There's Zoloft. There's a V word.
Prozac.
That's it. Julio's joined us late. What's up, Julio?
Hey, Julio.
Hey, what's up, guys?
This is Brian. I know you missed the beginning part. But, yeah, Prozac. All right. Now, I was reading something a couple days ago. It said the ingredients in Prozac, one of them is fluorine, which shares 95% basically like DNA with fluoride, which they're trying to take out of the water now with RFK Jr. But I just thought that was fucking weird. This fluorine that they put in this shit, they're probably still putting it in everything. All these pharmaceuticals.
They are. And what they don't tell you, and again, so Julio, I charged all the listeners of this podcast with educating themselves with four things. And you guys may, you know, again, you're smart. You've probably looked into this, but there are two movies to watch, two documentaries. One is called First Do No Farm, PHARM. That one's like a $6 charge. It was a professional production. They're just trying to pay, you know, for the cost of creating it. And then there's one on YouTube that's free called Medicating Normal. Medicating Normal is more like the impact of all this. Do No Farm is more like the root causes, how they're doing this with the drugs and how they get away with it. And then two books, Cheryl Atkinson, who's an investigative journalist. She wrote Follow the Science, and the S in science is a dollar sign. And then Robert Whitaker, who has done a lot of books. He wrote a book called Mad in America. And then the key one is Anatomy of an Epidemic. But if you watch those two documentaries and read these two books, you're going to understand that this shit goes back to World War II. And the Nazi scientists and chemical companies that were making the gases that they were using in warfare and in extermination are the same companies that made aspirin and make, agrochemicals and explosives. And, you know, so they're fueling farms, they're fueling warfare, they're fueling prescriptions. And then you start to connect the dots with how the advertisements give them domain over the media. So whenever a journalist like Cheryl Atkinson, she tells the story, tries to run a story that has anything negative to do with pharma, it gets shut down. She can't say it. She can put the dots out there, but she can't connect them for people, you know? And so people hear part of the story. Like I was saying earlier, you know, I've heard the term military industrial complex since I was a teenager. Don't know what it means. Didn't know what it means. You know, it just, you hear it over and over and over again. Nobody really explains it. And that would be something, maybe a serious joke that you guys could do, of like just breaking down bullet points of what this means and why it's not a conspiracy. This is a fact, you know. And I was mentioning earlier how pharma uses paid actors to go into chat rooms and stuff, go into threads on every social media site, and they promote the drug. Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear about your loss, but it's been great for me. And if you look through threads talking about drugs, you know, that shit happens constantly. And she has evidence that they are paid actors. Yeah. And
now you mentioned Operation Paperclip earlier.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard the notion that the Nazis, I mean, Germany lost the war, but the Nazis actually won and they're still among us?
You know what? Seeing how they were treated, the scientists, well, so there's an argument to be made that collecting up those scientists and corralling their intellect away from the Russians was beneficial for Western society, right? I mean, you can make that moral argument. But yeah, it gave them a soft landing.
Yeah, sure. And they had like a Nazi headquarters in Vale Oak, Argentina. And they I mean, just like everything else, it was made to look like they were helping the kids. You know, the Red Cross would give them, they would give them access to get out of there. But it was really the Nazis. And, you know, like Wernher von Braun, the head of NASA at the time, he was like Hitler's right-hand man. You know what I mean? And
I don't know about that, but he was...
He was the top scientist over there for sure.
He was, and his real guilt as a Nazi, I've researched him a lot. Was using Jewish slave labor, and you know, so he's complicit. Period. And I'm not going to make excuses for him, but I wouldn't say he was Hitler's right hand man. He was valuable. They valued anybody with intellect, because that was the whole Aryan thing, right? But funny story, you mentioned Argentina. My wife and I with some friends were down vacationing in Costa Rica, and we were just doing a no plan vacation. We just got in cars and we just drove, and we ended up driving up to Monteverde, which is this kind of mountain enclave that was founded by the Quakers in World War II. Ironically enough, when World War II broke out, they didn't want to fight because they're pacifists. And so they loaded up in buses and drove all the way down to Costa Rica and founded Monteverde. So there's coffee up there and there's dairies and cheese and rainforest and stuff like that. But we're sitting in this, we pull into this town, Monteverde, and we're sitting in this intersection. We had two cars side by side and we're talking through the window. And we had been joking this whole time about Nazi scientists and stuff. And at that exact moment, I yelled out, like we were joking around, and I get a little loud sometimes. And I said, what's his name? God damn it. The real wicked dude who was doing human experiments and shit.
Not Fauci. No, I know what you mean.
Right. Damn it. I'm blowing the story. Anyway, I shout, you know, we're blah, blah, blah. And I said, bah, his name, you know. And right about that time, there was this dude standing on the street corner with a cardboard sign.
Joseph Mengele.
Mengele. I said, yeah, Mengele. You know, ha, 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 ha. This is no shit. This dude walks over to the cars. He's got this cardboard cut out to some photos on it. It says Hotel Sunset. And it's covered in cellophane. And he says, pardon me, are you know, you guys looking for a place to stay? Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's exactly what we're talking about. He's like, I've got this bed and breakfast. It's up on a hill, you know, $20 a night. meals included. And his name was Mengele. His last name was fucking Mengele. I kind of shit you not. And we just look at each other because that was like the last thing he told us. Dude was cool as hell. He would run into town and buy us beers and just stockpile beers for us. And we sit on this patio and look at the sunset. It was sweet. But the you know, just the synchronicity of that happening was freaking hilarious. Mengele. Joseph fucking Mengele. So yeah, he's probably like, you know, great grandson or something. Right. But yeah, that shit happened. It, you know, boys from Brazil, probably based on a true story. You know, they were trying to clone Hitler, so you know, take over the world. My father-in-law, army retired army colonel, said, you know, he spent a lot of time in Germany in the 70s, and he got really into German culture. He would hang out at the Schutzhauses, you know, where they shoot 22s indoors. They're like little like primers with a bullet on them. He would do that shit, and he won. Just as a side note, he won the highest German shooting award he's the only American to ever have won it, only non-German. So that's how good he was. He was shooting in the Olympics and shit like that. But he said the side conversations for people who didn't think he spoke German were like, we will rise again. There's this whole undercurrent in these guys that they didn't call it the Nazis. They said the Reich, you know, the Reich will rise again. He said it was pretty spooky. It was like what they believe, but what they don't say in public. So that shit is out there. You know, the German, if ever a country had earned the right to be wiped off the planet, Germany's probably top of the list, you know.
Right.
And then you can go down. There's other, you know, Iran's working on that right now in Syria, which is pretty freaking cool. Because I think they're going to implode.
Anyway. You know, I'm from Nicaragua in Central America, and my great grandfather is rumored to have been German, of German descent. Mm. Him and my great grandmother, they had blue and green eyes. They were pretty like white skinned, and it kind of lines up with the whole. Like it's funny, me and my brother kind of looked into it. It doesn't line up when they came on the subs. Like in the submarines, you know, after the war, it almost looked like it happened before it ended.
Huh.
And I don't know. It's kind of weird.
So what year are you talking about? Like 40, 41 or?
Yeah, like 30s, 40s.
Okay. No, they were down there. The Nazis were there. I read a book called Fate is the Hunter. It was story is this guy's memoirs. He was a early pilot, started as a barnstormer, became an airline pilot, and the story is basically, you know, there is no progress in technology without the cost of human blood, and aeronautics is absolutely one of those things, right? People died because they were pushing the envelope. But he was down, he told the story about how he flew down through Brazil and there were Nazi bomber crews training, fucking flying Emmy, what are they? Not 109s, but the you know, Messerschmitt 101s or something, bombers, light bombers, Stukas. He said they were outfitted, this whole Nazi aircraft in freaking Brazil in like 1940, because it was right. I think they were down there in the 30s.
Yeah.
And they were not. Their sites. Yeah. And you can connect the dots pretty fast that the target of those people was not Europe. You know, all they had to do was fly north. Yep. And, you know, and the Germans, they're like, you know, Johnny Appleseed with beer, and a lot like Mexican beers. Seriously, that's Bavarian lager. Those were Bavarian brewmasters that went through South America and started these breweries. They got all uptight about, you know, their German beer purity law, the Rheinheitsgebot. Which says you can't use anything but barley, water, and yeast. But the Mexicans are like, fuck that. We got corn. We make all kinds of shit. You should try some tequila, brother. You know, but they would make the beer with local ingredients, pissed off the Germans. They'd move south and then try to keep their pure beer, and it wouldn't happen. And then you've got beers all through South America that taste a whole lot like a Bavarian lager because they are. So that's all German legacy, you know, and whether or not a lot of that happened in the 1800s, But that's why those dudes could like go and feel at home. You know, they're just hanging in.
Have you ever heard of Frankenmuth?
Yeah.
Have you been up there?
No.
It's they try to sell it as like a Christmas town, but it's basically like little Bavaria.
Okay.
It's a fucking trip, man. And you know, supposedly the Illuminati started in Bavaria. You know what I mean? And they got like it's cool as fuck if you go up there. You should check it out sometime. They got like horse and buggy rides, and they got like cheese shops, chocolate shops, Bavarian restaurants. They got breweries and shit. It's fucking awesome, man.
I like that stuff.
Yeah.
I just hate their ideology.
Yeah.
Communists and, yeah, Nazis can fuck right off. Yeah, it's so deep right now. You know, like we were saying earlier, what's Trump actually going to be able to get done before somebody knocks? I'm quite frankly, I'm surprised Cheryl Atkinson and this guy Robert Whitaker are still alive, because those books, they lay it out, and it's horrifying, and it starts to make sense. And you know, the whole paint by numbers scheme that they came up with.
All right, and again, what was the first book, the one with farm, PH?
What was that? It's a movie. First. So it's first in caps, exclamation point, do no PHARM, do no farm. So it's kind of a take on the Hippocratic Oath, the doctors
do no farm. To.
Yeah, first, do no farm. And it's a British guy, a British heart surgeon, who basically his eyes, he finally kind of awakened to what was going on. And he was saying, hold on a second. You know, we don't have, it was with the statin drugs. He's all like, right, statin drugs are killing people.
First, do no farm. Yep. And Medicating Normal. Those are movies.
Medicating Normal is a real focus on vets.
And yeah, then Follow the Science and Anatomy of an Epidemic are books.
Bingo.
All right, I'm going to put that in the show notes.
It's, if every American did those four things, this shit would end, because you would know what the hell's going on. Dude, right now, people, you know, you want to talk about, like I mentioned, the anecdote comeback that the head of the VA had. You know, that's kind of the American public's reaction to this. Unless, you know, it took the death of my son for me to go down this path. You know, who's willing to invest that, to learn and to be, you know, to be aware of what's going on? Nobody is.
Right.
Nobody wants to do that. You know, yeah. I didn't want to be here. But it is what it is, and trying to understand the cause of it and how we get in this situation. How the fuck does a geriatric specialty nurse practitioner prescribe a psychotropic med to somebody who's – he was in there for vision exam, you know, an eye exam and a CPAP machine tune-up.
And you have to go through – look, all right, so – real quick, I talked about this on the last episode, so I got a DUI, but I got it lowered down. And one of the things I had to do was like a substance abuse evaluation. Yeah. And to get it done, it's like $200 or $300 or some shit like that. And they said, well, you're a veteran, you can get it free at the VA. And so I called the VA. And they said, well, we got to set you up with the pre-screen evaluation, which is probably exactly the thing that you're talking about. What's it called?
PHQ-9.
Yeah.
Personal health quality, the 9 questions or something like that. Yeah,
yeah, so I got to do that at the beginning of January before I can even get in for the substance abuse evaluation, which I'm only going to lie about it anyway. No, yeah, I don't drink hardly. The only time I ever drank was that night. I shouldn't be saying that on air.
right. Yeah. And you will end up with at least one disorder, right?
Oh, you're going to
have bipolar disorder. You're going to have, what is it? Major depressive disorder or something else like that. And oh, by the way, here's like three drugs we could try to use on you. Oh, you're taking whatever. I'm just making shit up, right? You're taking something else for your blood pressure. Oh, that reacts poorly with bupropion, so we're going to put you on Zoloft or whatever like that, you know. And what they don't tell you, and this is something I wanted to cover really fast too, the shit they don't tell you, and the fact that Robert Whittaker paints this picture of how they do this shit in the trials. They fake the data. They absolutely bold-faced lie to Congress, to the FDA, and to the American people, because they put together these trials. Then maybe they have 300 people. The minute that somebody shows a positive reaction to the drug, they take them out of that trial and they put them in a long-term trial. So they take this pool of 300, maybe 150 people end up, and I'm just making up numbers, 150 people end up in this long-term trial. At the end of that trial, they reported the numbers of those first reactions. So, and in some cases, they multiplied it by three. So Robert Whittaker says, at the end, when he researched this and did all the analysis on that data, the end result of the long-term trial was like 1.5% positive impact. And they said 75. They said, this is a safe drug. It's mostly effective. 75% of the people that take it remit their symptoms of depression or whatever the hell they're trying to treat them for. And it was a fucking lie. And we knew it.
Safe and effective, right?
Exactly.
Where have we heard that before?
Anatomy of an epidemic, dude. He lays it all out. So, holy shit, how do you fight that? You know, and they're paying off Congress, and they're paying, you know, Nancy Pelosi's bank account. Yeah. Like you were saying, there's proof there, and we're just letting it happen. So people have to be mad as hell. They have to be pissed off. They have to have some skin in the game. And, you know, one of the Grunt Style Foundation projects right now is called No More Dead Friends. And they have a shirt, and it's just hashtag No More Dead Friends. And they're pissed. They're pissed and motivated. And I'm glad that they're going to use me as a battering ram, a big old freaking thick skull, you know, just pound me through the doors of Congress. And there are a few key things that dawned on me. One is the day my son took his life was the worst day of his life. He was tortured to death by a drug. How fucking sick is that? That's what's happening. You know, suicide is a real problem, and it goes back. All war fighters have suffered from this through the ages, right? This goes back to prehistoric times, because fighting fucks with your head. You know, having to kill other people, as psychotic as you might be, naturally, it still fucks with your head, you know? And so it takes normal people, teachers, farmers, bank accountants, and turns them into killers, and that fucks with you. And so your purse, to whoever, whatever human you were before you pulled the trigger, is dead. Really, that's just the reality of it, right? That person is no longer exists. You've crossed that psychotic barrier. You had to, because it's your job. Fuck yeah, you know, kill those fuckers. But the fact is, it changes you. And what they do is they just load you up on drugs to mask it. They don't solve the problem. They don't address the root cause. I'm a root cause guy. You know, I'm a data analyst and a problem solver for IT for 35 years. I know I was telling my wife in like 1987, when I was troubleshooting complex computer systems, I made a correlation in my head that it's like, I'm doing what a doctor does. They just look at a bunch of symptoms. They know what the systems are. They come up with an analysis of it, you know, and they solve the problem. That's exactly what I'm doing. So I'm kind of like a no degree trained monkey that solves problems. And when I look at this problem, to me, granted, you know, everybody's experience is different, and these drugs do seem to help some people, but it helps them forget about their problems, or it helps them cope with life, and the problems are still there. And again, I was kind of going down this path on a short circuit of myself. When they lie about the results, they also lie about the side effects, and they're lying. Yeah, sure. So SSRIs can cause permanent erectile sexual dysfunction. Permanent. You start it and you're fucked. You will never, you know, without other medical help, you may never have sex again. That's a big deal. That's a big fucking deal to men. I don't know if they know this or not, but, you know, they should learn this lesson somehow.
Yeah, that's like the opposite of what it's supposed to do. Wouldn't that make you more depressed? You know what I mean?
Exactly. No, but so then then they'll put you on what are they, benzo. They've got these benzos that are the downers, right? So like the SSRIs and the NDRIs are uppers, basically. I forget how to pronounce the damn things, but you know, serotonin, dopamine, that shit. It makes you feel better. And so they're training, the drugs tell the brain to stop eliminating it, right? So your brain's got systems. Our bodies are amazing, and these guys are just tinkerers. They're freaking morons because they think they know what they're doing, and they don't. And no, they'll admit it. Eventually, they'll admit that they don't understand the systems that are working. But they're just messing with parts of it. You know, well, it also seems to mess with the part that says don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
Fuckers. I derailed myself.
Well, I don't know if we talked about it on the last episode we were on together or not, but and I don't know if this guy was on any medicine or not, but I'm not going to say his name. He was a little Mexican dude in my platoon. Not in my platoon, he was in my company. And he was on, this is when we were in Haiti. He was on guard duty in a bunker. And he, this is back then we had M16A2s. He shot himself, he put it in his mouth and shot himself. And when we all took cover for probably maybe 20 to 30 minutes before anybody even went down there because we thought we were under attack. You know what I mean? So everybody kind of took cover. And then, you know, we didn't have no more gunfire after that. So they finally went down and found him. He had that motherfucker on 3-round bursts, but he only got off 1 round.
Oh.
And you couldn't you shoot, Brian, you know about this. You couldn't do that if you tried. You know, right. I don't know if you've ever shot those M16A2s.
No.
I mean, you just barely touch it and the motherfucker lets off 3 rounds. I've never known one to do that, but
that's crazy. Divine intervention. In right. a way, right?
Yeah. Oh no, he was gone, man. But
hey, I wanted to kind of correlate something. So I've dealt with drug issues. That's how I'm kind of aware of SSRIs and other medicines such as the ones that we're talking about. But when I went to rehab, I went in with blood pressure issues. I went in with depression. A lot of the baggage that comes with addiction. And, dude, the first thing that they fucking put me on was SSRIs. Like, everything you just mentioned, the same way your son was treated by the VA, is exactly the pathway that rehab took me through in terms of medicines. And
that's what they do.
And it's almost like the same subscription, the same pattern. Like, they're trying to fit you into, like...
Oh, it's paid by numbers. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel bad. Here's a drug. Bye. Yeah.
Good luck. Exactly. And then because you're taking this and this is going to affect this, we're going to give you this one. It's like they're just trying to fit you into like a...
It's a matrix.
Yeah. And you get lost in that. Like I'm telling you, I became like... I don't think before rehab, I was really truly suicidal or thinking like that, but... It was when I was on those medicines that it really intensified. And I noticed that it became more of like a real pursuit as opposed to just words.
Goddamn.
And something I said.
That's
so
fucked up.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
And that's why I was really kind of looking forward to this episode with you because I read or I had heard the original one with you and Fox because, man, I'm telling you, dude. I don't know. I mean, I still struggle with addiction, but I'm telling you what, like I've never felt suicidal to that point.
Yeah.
To that point that I felt like years ago.
And it wasn't you. It wasn't you. It was the drug. And it makes you, once you understand that, and once you understand these mass murderers who were on SSRIs, I'm like, I got some compassion for them now. It's like these poor fuckers were manipulated into doing that. And it wasn't them. It was their brains getting rewired And there's more side effects they don't tell you, like permanent. You some of these you're stuck on them for life because your brain stops doing what it used to do, and it will never go back. So yeah. It, you have to. Otherwise, if you stop it, you try to go off. And if you hear the stories, like Derek Blumke, took him a year to get off of Prozac, and it was wicked withdrawal symptoms, you know, and he just had to I think it's called titration. I don't know what that means exactly, but I think it's a dosing. He had to just periodically just cut back, you know. And in the movie Medicating Normal, they talk about that a lot. This guy, freaking Navy commander, MIT grad, smart as hell, motivated, freaking patriot. And that's the other thing that kills me too, is they're killing off patriots. They're killing off the very people we need in this country. You guys, you know, your brothers in arms, the people that have put their life on the line, that dedicated a portion of their life, which ends up being really the rest of your life, right? Your mentality is that most vets, that brotherhood, God, you know, and they're killing them off. They're killing off my son. What could he have been? You know, he could have been, he was a photographer. He could have been the next Ansel Adams. He could have been, you know, a head of industry. He could have been a congressman. He could have been the president. Who the, now I doubt that, but who knows, you know, and we'll never know because the country is being robbed of its most precious resources, which is the most motivated, the most dedicated, passionate Americans that have walked this planet, and we're killing them off through stupidity, right? Yep. It's the stupidity and it's money. And you're absolutely right when you said that, like right off the bat, Fox. It's all about money. And yeah. I wouldn't have said 2 years ago, like the first episode we did, I was an idiot. I knew nothing about this stuff. I just knew it was suspicious as hell. All the evidence in our lives pointed to the drug being the cause of his suicide, but I didn't know any of this other stuff. And now that I know it, God damn, I'm pissed off. This is my life goal. If nothing else, is to participate in tearing down Big Pharma. Fuck them. And the dude got shot, you know, I would say I don't condone violence like that as a first resort. You know, we have to tear these people down legally. And that's the problem, is nobody's fighting. Cause I think, and we started to touch on this, you know, when you're getting kicked by the VA, you don't know it. And then you're just kind of beaten down, you know, cause what they're doing is they're creating a lifelong patient, because they're going to hook you on the drug that you have to take for the rest of your life. It's going to cause other side effects. You're going to need another screening. You're going to have another drug. And it's just this endless cycle. And that's what RFK Jr. is going to work on. I can't say he's going to solve it, but you know, that's it. One of his goals is to break. And President Trump demands from him within 2 years, tangible evidence that he's solved the problem, that this, we're going to reverse course here. We're going to stop this epidemic of lifelong sick people. And we're creating them, right? We're creating with these drugs, especially vets. Suicide, like I was saying earlier, suicide's a real problem. It goes back forever. But this epidemic, it's synthetic. And it's kind of like the Me Too movement. You know, there were probably some stories in there that needed to be told. You know, there were some fucking scumbags like Harvey Weinstein that needed to be taken down, right? But a lot of innocent people got swept up into that. So it's like the cry wolf scenario. When you fake it, it diminishes the impact, or the, you know, when you falsely accuse a man of rape, you're stealing the damage and, you know, the trauma and the impact of a real rape. Mm-hmm. It's just the fact of the matter, you know, a stolen vote is stealing my vote. You know, an illegal alien voting in our federal election steals my vote. It's not just a vote, it's my vote. And that pisses me off. And oh, God damn it, I did it again. I walked myself down a hole and I can't undig myself. But yeah, I was ignorant of all this stuff. And now that I see the bigger picture, and I'm not going to say I understand it all, but, you know, oh, it was the violence. You know, when you kick the vets and you treat them like shit and you make them, you put them on an SSRI that's probably going to inhibit their homicidal tendencies, whatever that might be, shit like this is going to happen, you know, and it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle that we haven't seen judges and more people in prominent places that do nothing but lie in their bank accounts end up in a similar situation. There's a book I read a long time ago called Unintended Consequences. And that book is like this freaking thick. And it took me 5 months to read it. I would read it on planes when I traveled for business. I'd read it on the flight out and the flight back. You know, I never finished it, but it's a fictional story about gun culture and patriots. And when they see injustice, they want to fight it. And when you feel like you have no other avenue but to load up a hunting rifle and go, you know, take care of business, that shit's going to happen. And it sucks, but these fuckers made their bed and they're going to pay either legally or mortally. It's just the way it is. I hate to say that, but it's just a fact of life.
Ain't it weird how like fictional stories sometimes seem to come to fruition? Like 1984.
Exactly.
We're living through that shit assholes. Right now. We're living that right now. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, but don't you think that some of this shit is also tied to the fact that, like, for example, so many things in our lives are subscription-based, including medicines? Like, you subscribe to them and you don't really think about it. And the fact that you don't think about it actually makes the system actually more able to keep you in a pattern, keep you in a... in an unknown fate, in an unknown haze of what you are taking. Like, for example, it is easier to take something like a medicine than it is to deal with an issue.
Right.
You know, like you're obese, take Ozempic. You know, you're depressed, take Zoloft.
That's exactly what they're banking on.
You know, and that's what they're banking on. And I don't know. I think it takes a lot of effort to really step outside of that and really try to go against the grain and try to really be a unique and normal human being. Normal is not the right word.
Right.
But maybe authentic human being, because these things, I'm telling you, these things really do affect the brain.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
A good friend of mine was on the VA had him on bupropion on a pretty heavy dose. He's a Iraq vet. And he said it removed all his emotion, and he's got kids, and his kids would be like, daddy, 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 you know, and he's just like,
yeah,
just a flat line of emotion. And he's like, yeah, I couldn't live that way. And he just cold turkeyed it. And he's off, which is amazing.
Yeah. He got lucky. Yeah,
that's exactly. And that's part of the mystery of the effect of these drugs. You know, some people are hooked on it for life. Some people can cold turkey it. Some people live better lives. Some people kill themselves, you know, and they don't understand how that works, you know. And at some point in time, maybe in the future, maybe there will be some like DNA analysis that they can do and try to figure out cause and effect. Then it's like, okay, no, you don't, your body chemistry will not react well with this medication, you know. Yeah. But we have to completely get rid of our thinking that started in the 80s, which is, I've got a depressive disorder, I've got an eating disorder. If it says disorder on it, you're being manipulated. And right. that's how they get away with this, because everybody looks at this and says, if you're against pharma, you're fucking with my kid who's taking these drugs and he's living a better life because of it. It's like, well, is he? He's living in a fictionalized version, right? The drugs are like blocking out the thing that's really causing him trouble. And RFK Jr.'s push, and this is why they call him crazy, is that you can solve most of these problems. So greater than 51%, there's a non-zero chance that a 51% or better outcome can come from a dietary change and exercise. He's like, if you do those two things... And there's so much evidence of that. And I am guilty as hell. I don't eat like I should, and I do not exercise like I should. And I should, you know, and like you said, it's hard. It's work, right? I can take a pill or I can go invest a third of my day in trying to make my life better, which is easier. the fucking pill. We're not stupid, right? I mean, that makes sense. You can make that connection, and people are look at our culture. You know, we are creatures of comfort. If it can make our life easier, a dishwasher or a washing machine, right? Technology solves all these problems. It just fit right in the story. But look, now we got these wonder drugs. Now all that depression, all your anxiety, and your premenstrual pains will go away. You just take this pill, and we fall for it.
But at the same time, they tell you the fat is beautiful, but they're telling you to take Ozempic.
Now, right. Yep. Stop body shaming. Okay, well,
whatever. Here's Ozempic.
The biggest bullies on the planet complain about bullying.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. All right, Brian.
This is a whirlwind. This could be a series, dude. It really could.
That's what I was going to say. As you go, you're going to keep learning more. And you can come back every so often or, you know, hit me up whenever.
Okay.
Whenever you feel like coming on.
And if there's one of these meetings or something, if you're interested in going, I can get you information, you know, that the foundation's putting on. They're doing them pretty rapid fire. They just did one in Detroit. They're doing one in Boston right now. And then we have the one in D.C. The D.C. one is big. So they're really putting a lot of effort, you know, funding and time and stuff into that one. So I don't think there's another one, but they'll be all over the place.
If they come back to Detroit, let me know.
We'll do. There's stuff. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, it doesn't matter where it is. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, some of these videos are online. I'll shoot you links, Fox.
Okay.
And you can.
And then everybody go to gruntstylefoundation.org and click that donate box if you want to support them. And that's about it. You got anything else like Instagram or any of that shit?
No, I mean, I kind of keep to myself quite a lot. I've laid low partially just when I started learning about big tech and how they track us and shit like that. I just started obfuscating my name everywhere, and I keep a low profile. My son's Instagram is going to be part of the story we tell, because he was a freaking awesome photographer, you know, and he was developing his own film, and you know, his creativity, which is another, I think a lot of vets are very creative people too, which is really interesting. We're stripping our culture of some of the most valuable resources we have through this insanity, and holy shit. So just as a side note, and so you opened the door and that was a mistake. This dude, Brian Johnson, he's got the blood of millions of people on his soul. So.
Oh, Brian Thompson.
The CEO that got shot.
Yeah. Right.
I'm sorry for his family. I'm sorry. They, you know, his wife married a jackass.
I know I feel bad. They said he had kids, but he was like 50, so I mean, are his kids grown up? I don't know.
Yeah. It's sad, and it shouldn't have come to that, but
yeah. I mean, you play with fire, you get burned, you know.
Fauci is lucky to be alive, because I'm sure there are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people that would like to see that motherfucker hang. How we should die, too.
Have you heard about...
We need gallows, dude.
Have you heard about Biden trying to give people preemptive pardons?
Yeah.
That's basically saying you're a fucking criminal.
Adam Schiff. Well, you know, it's funny.
Fauci,
Have you heard... So if Biden gets this pardon... Or, I'm sorry, you know, Hunter Biden is pardoned for all this envelope of stuff he has, he no longer has Fifth Amendment protection. So he can be dragged in front of Congress and forced to testify against his dad. Biden's not a clear thinker.
Not only that, now he's federally cleared, but they can't pardon him from a state court.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I hope all this shit comes back and bites him in the ass. All right, man.
Hey, Hunter 2024.
Yeah.
Party in the White House, man.
Yeah,
that's what we need. Hookers and coke. Never done them. I'm innocent. But yeah, thanks for having me on. It's
thanks for coming, man.
It's an infinite number of rabbit holes. It really is. And yeah. And that's how they do it. And they get away with it with plausible deniability. Oh, we don't know who those people are commenting on those thread pools. Well, we don't have direct contact with the thing, you know, and it's when you understand that the chemical companies are the same chemical companies that the Nazis were using, it's like, okay, this is cartoonish.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't write this. Nobody would believe it, but it's real.
It's so crazy. Fucking crazy how the first time you came on, and between then and now, you have literally become a conspiracy theorist. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking about all the shit that we talk about because it's all true. All this shit comes true. You know, it's like Alex Jones, you know, some of the shit he talks about. And it's like you said, they try to make people look crazy. He's in the same boat as RFK Jr.
Yep.
Fucking.
And if 90% of what he says is true, it's the 10% they latch on to. It's like,
yeah,
you know, that old work trope that it takes one fuck up to wipe out 100 attaboys, you know.
Yeah,
that's bullshit, you know. Yeah. Failure is a way you grow, and so how you learn. And if he's wrong about 10%, I can take that, you know. You just gotta weigh it out for yourself.
Yeah,
but yeah, Alex Jones, I'm not a fan of his delivery. I think he's funny as hell.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Rush Limbaugh.
I used to hate Rush Limbaugh because he's bombastic, right? He was bombastic, but he was fucking right.
Yeah.
99.999% of the time, yeah, as he would like to say, you know? And yeah. I came to love how he was like one of the original trollers, right? He would do this, stop farting in your car. And it was a French word that meant to put on makeup because women were getting tickets for putting on mascara in their cars, you know, like, so he came up with this, stop farting in your car. Women fart in their car. And the liberal women just lost their minds. It was fucking hilarious. Hilarious. Anyway. Yeah. Good times.
On a side note, I hate to step on this in this direction, but I know some of our listeners and watchers who are going to watch this are going to say that you have a resemblance to David Gilmour from Pink Floyd.
Oh, dude. I would take that as a compliment. I got a stack of guitars right here.
Oh, you a guitarist?
Oh, yeah.
Julio's a drummer.
Conspiracy theory. Theme song.
This is a 1985 Charvel Model 6. I bought brand new, and I still have, and I know it's all blurry. Fucking camera. I freaking love this guitar. And my new favorite, I hate to say, it has taken over the love of my life.
Oh,
it's,
nice.
It's a Line 6. What's his name? James Tyler. This guitar is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's got electronics in it and shit.
Play us a little something.
Oh, dude. People are sleeping.
All right. Oh, yeah, you're right. My bad.
but it's got it's got modeling in it. So it's modeled. It's designed as a 59 Les Paul. And it's got pickups and the body style and everything. It sounds exactly like a 59 Les Paul with no electronics. And then you put it into modeling mode and it can be a Telecaster. There's like 35 wow. different guitars. It can do string, like acoustic guitar, Martin 6-string, Martin 12-string. It's amazing. It's absolutely yeah. amazing. And nice. Then you can do other shit. Like even the pots are programmable. So like I did one experiment where it took the tone pot and I could make it create feedback. It's like you could feedback a note. It just creates a harmonic that resonates instantly. It's like you just crank it and whoop, you know. it's badass.
You don't even need like all the equipment anymore, like the heads and anything like that.
Well, it's funny you say that because that guitar, so paired, I've got this, it's the trifecta of joy. And there's a pod pedal that works with the guitar, and I've got the head. And the head's a Bogner tube amp, but it's got it models too. So the amp can model Marshalls and Orange and all kinds of amplifiers and cabinets. And then with the pedal, it's kind of an effects pedal, but it can also drive the guitar. So I can have a preset, one preset that's a Martin 12 string with all the effects I want, you know, like some reverb and crap like that. And it'll set up the amplifier too. So I could play a Marshall stack with a SG guitar model and sound exactly like Angus Young. You know, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm an analog guy. If I weren't blurry, you'd see all the typewriters in the background. I love analog stuff, you know, but every once in a while, technology twists my nipples a little bit and I get really happy about it.
I get it, man. That's cool. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
No, thanks for joining. It was good meeting you.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Yeah, you guys are losing me with this music shit. I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
You enjoy it, though.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
It sounds cool. I'd like to learn some of this shit. But, all right. So hit us up. Send us an email at conspiracysoldiers@yahoo.com or conspiracysoldiers on Instagram. Call us or leave us a text, 31FluFrog6. And go visit gruntstylefoundation.org. And I'm going to put all this shit in the show notes and stuff, too. All right. And catch you next time when you come on, Brian. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Hang loose, dudes.
Yep. Later on, brother.
Later.
Recording stopped.
Are those live rounds? Seven, six, 2 millimeter. Full metal jacket.
My name is Gunnery Sergeant Highway, and I've drunk more beer and pissed more blood and banged more quiff, busted more... All you numbnuts put together. Major Powers has put me in charge of this recon platoon. We take care of ourselves. You couldn't take care of a wet dream.
Y'all know about killing?
Well, I'd like to hear about it, potheads.
We should sort of escape from reality.
Yeah, I don't need this shit. I am reality.
Now, I got no fight.
But any man does what he's told. But when he don't, the machine breaks down.
And when the machine breaks down, we break down.